This is the Hugh Talk America Radio Network.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you are in the middle of a three-hour marathon of love and tenderness. We call it the show on Tuesday night. You may call it boredom? I don't know.
Things to do while you're...
There's so many things to do to kill your time, and this is one of the things you can do. Hi, everybody. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. We round out the show each and every week right here on Q-Talk America. Thanks for joining us, everybody in the chat room and around the world, and all the ships at sea. I haven't said that in a long time, but I thought I would.
Are you still out there?
Ships.
Coming up a little bit later, we've got maybe we'll have a thoughtful vulgarity segment. Kat Carlson's going to have her two things segment.
I mean,
we don't know if she has two things or not, but she's going to do the segment.
We're going to talk about things.
We'll figure it out. But right now, I know you've been waiting all night to hear him talk more. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Al Perkins.
Oh my God.
So it's not really entertainment, but Kanye West is on this weird thing where he likes
Trump. It's not entertainment at all.
So Kanye appeared at the TMZ headquarters where he had this to say. When you hear about slavery for 400 years, that sounds like a choice. The rapper went on to add, you were there for 400 years and it's all of y'all. It's like we're mentally imprisoned. Provocative statements are second nature to the 40-year-old rapper, and this week he's been making headlines left and right, including proclaiming his love for President Trump. But when he made his offhanded remark about slavery, TMZ employee Van Lathan took him to task for it. While you're making music and being an artist and living the life that you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that's come from the 400 years of slavery that you said of our people was a choice. Frankly, I'm disappointed, I'm appalled, and brother, I am unbelievably hurt by the fact that you've morphed into something to me that's not real. I've never understood Kanye. I just don't get what people...
I have no idea. Right.
See, it's one of those things, like we learned from SNL about Beyonce, sometimes the stuff just isn't for us. But yeah. It usually is. Like, whatever he's selling, I'm just not the sure, chosen demographic.
Sure.
But I'm almost sure that the chosen demographic doesn't need this shit or to find out that he loves Trump.
Right.
Well, but and who in this world thinks that slavery is a choice?
Right. That, oh, God, I just...
It's going on
I
today.
I just didn't know the gate was open.
But he likes attention-seeking behavior.
Right, and he just dropped a new album. So, of course he's stirring the pot for that partially. But I'm like, I just can't imagine... Oh, but also, did you read... he said he just... recovered from a drug addiction. Didn't he just come out with that? In the headline. He just popped up and it came out. I thought it was today.
Yeah, because
how are we defining recovered?
Right.
Well,
or he's suffering through, so now he's trying to like...
Was Dr. Drew there? Because that's not good.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean,
because Kanye's still alive.
50% chance of dying so there, far. Right.
Kanye West said he had liposuction and became addicted to opioids before 2016.
Oh, that doesn't explain what the fuck he's doing this week.
Well, maybe they're still fucked in his body.
Well,
he
did this whole Trump thing, and then after, you know, throwing the praises to the Donald, then he said that his new hero is Emma Gonzalez.
Right.
And she was like, whatever. And went over here and... found, and forgive me, because I'm not sure, I didn't see who it was, but she said someone else who was like I just saw a picture of a guy with a baby. And I'm assuming it's someone people might all know. I'll look it up, but that's her hero. You know, and rather, she didn't even give...
Oh my gosh.
Wait, whose hero? I missed the beginning of
Emma
that.
Emma Gonzalez. Parkland. Emma.
Yeah.
If you read this, I'm on Elle Magazine's website where they've got his quotes from what he says about him being hooked on opioids. Just the quote that he rattles off about is as incoherent as listening to Trump. It's just this whole babble, blah, 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 about him and the hospital and being strung out and why he had a mental breakdown. The babble is just beyond. I'm not going to read all of it, but it was like... he just is quit making stupid people famous.
Oh, the guy with the baby.
Yeah.
Emma Gonzalez's hero is James Shaw Jr. Now, he ought to be more well known for wrestling an AR-15 rifle away from Travis Rinking.
Oh, the Waffle House shooter.
Right. In Tennessee.
Got it. Okay.
The one who's raised crazy money. if I'm not mistaken, for a lot of the victims and the not and the, and the survivors.
He uses GoFundMe to help pay for the funerals, right?
Oh, wow.
I believe so.
If I'm not mistaken.
Thank you for looking that up, because I just saw that.
So and someone that Trump can't seem to find.
Not mentioned at all.
The good guy who stopped a gunman.
The good black guy with that.
The photo of the guy with the baby was this guy, James Shaw Jr., with his bandaged hand holding his four-year-old daughter.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
I saw something, and I'm like, so I'm not sure who that is, but yeah, thank you.
That's who that is.
Just like any time.
Me in the Google.
Thank you.
Any other time that you're at an award ceremony or something with Kanye West, just let it play out and walk the other way.
He started all of that with Diane's favorite, your mom's favorite.
Oh, Taylor Swift.
Right. Before you do your Tony stuff,
Tony, Anant was
wondering if he can tell about the podcast because he has to.
Tell us your podcast recommendation.
I wish we could go live to Anant. He could tell us live, but that'd be better.
Coming to us live, our senior podcast correspondent,
as opposed to Anant having to translate it from the typed text on the.
All right,
screens.
So I'll do a couple while he types. So, best musical, The Band's Visit. Frozen, Mean Girls, both based on movies, and then SpongeBob SquarePants, the Broadway musical.
Oh.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
First of all, catchy as fuck.
Really?
You're going to want to hate it, but you're going to love it.
Okay.
Is my prediction. I clearly haven't seen it, but I stalk these things on the internet.
Can we use that? That'll be our new slogan. You're going to want to hate it.
You're going to want to hate it, but you're going to. That's exactly our show.
Right. You think you're going to like it, but you're going to hate it. That's actually what it should be.
That's what it is.
We should have t-shirts.
I'm super not surprised about SpongeBob SquarePants the musical, because from like moment number one that I saw anything from it was the Thanksgiving parade.
Okay.
And I was like, wait, what is
this?
Oh,
right.
And now I literally can't stop watching and singing.
You're watching and singing. Right. I remember that was on there, and I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, so I'm super not surprised by that. Mean Girls, I also was not at all surprised by that, and again, highly anticipated by one Kat Carlson. The Band's Visit, I saw because they won Drama Desk Awards last year, and so I saw a performance from there and was very, very intrigued by that, because that performance was beautiful.
By which one?
The Band's Visit.
Yes, that's one that I'm very curious about.
Yeah, because that feels like heartwarming. I don't remember if it's true story or based on true story or could have been true story. But very good. And I'm very pleased with all of these nominees, because Frozen also added some new songs for the Broadway musical there's one called Monster that I'm also a little bit obsessed with right now, because she does I think is it Elsa? Is she the one with all the like frozen hands and whatever?
Yep.
I don't know.
But anyway, Elsa and Anna or something.
She does all of her character progression in one song. She goes from, oh my god, maybe I'm a monster, to fuck it, I'm just going to go on a rampage and be a monster, to like the resolution of that all in one song, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
Now that I am
pleased. Very pleased with the nominees.
I'm curious to hear this podcast that Annette just put in here. I'm not taking from your fire, but it's called Breach. The podcast you're talking about, and it's a new podcast investigating history's most notorious data breaches. I think it's interesting that it's brought to you by Carbonite, who is a security company for online things. But I'm curious to hear what's going on in this, because there are tons of security breaches. We hear about them all the time.
Right, which is the plot to every Bruce Willis movie, that the company that convinces you need the
security.
Oh, the security is the one that's coming from inside the house.
I don't know if anybody else is sensitive to this or pays any attention.
But I did subscribe to it.
But if you'll recall, was it late last year or was it early this year, that Experian had the massive data breach?
Late last year.
So immediately, you know, they come out and fall on the sword, and they're apologizing all over themselves, and then they rebrand themselves on all the new websites or all the new commercials now, very bright and lively. I find it, and I think I'm using the word irony, or maybe I'm not. Maybe to me, I just think it's ironic that they were so horribly breached, and they got like so many people's data got out there, and then they did the whole website of, you know, search the dark web to see if your data was breached or whatever. Well, now they're just this advocate of, oh my god, you need online security.
Yeah, that's irony.
We had
it's not Alanis Morissette irony. That's real irony.
But okay. The people that fucked you up the most by not having security is not telling you need security.
I just think that is every time I see an Equifax commercial that touts you need security. Mm-hmm. You fucked us.
Yeah, yeah, you needed security.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think that that's crazy. And then I get emails all the time from Experian. You haven't signed up yet for whatever. I'm never going to sign up for whatever you've got, ever. Yeah. I just think it's so funny that they
like,
have
free
those
credit score. Like, no, yeah. I know.
Yeah,
the, well, the as little
I need it from them.
As little interaction as I can have with you people, the better.
Unfortunately, the way our credit system works is you don't have a choice. You're just in it. If you have any sort of credit at all, you're already in it. The best and almost only way to protect yourself from especially the Equifax breach is to actually freeze your credit. You can call the credit bureaus and put a freeze on your credit that only you can undo. The downsides are it costs money usually to lock and unlock and lock and unlock. So if you're a frequent credit user, be a frequent credit user. Stupid.
That's it.
Open your accounts and then lock it down. Just be done until you make major purchases.
And doesn't it? It's not instant either. Doesn't it take some time to do? Like, you can't just be at Sears and call.
I think it locks instantly, but it unlocks slowly.
Yeah.
So you have to give yourself time that you want credit again.
Oh, I'm buying a car this month. I should go unlock my credit. Mm. That kind of a thing. But that will prevent these breaches from fucking you over with identity theft and everything. So that's that's the upside. So if you're really worried about it, or you know what I mean.
And if you want to hear that funny in British. Last week tonight, John Oliver has a really good thing about how Equifax fucked us and how to unfuck
yourself.
Sadly,
I'm neither funny nor British, so too bad you
got
the
bland version.
But
you covered all the right points. You got all the right places.
Yeah.
And then, yes, I did subscribe to it, so that's something new to listen to, because I guess I made it through Constitution. I didn't think I did, but I guess I'm done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not. I've dropped off somewhere in the middle. I need to get back to it.
So... the rest of the nominations. We talked about Best Musical, Best Play of the Children, Farinelli and the King, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child or Cursed Child, Junk, and Latin History for Morons, which is Leguizamo.
Mm-hmm.
John Leguizamo.
Best Revival of a Musical, Carousel, My Fair Lady, and Once on This Island, which starred LaChance originally. She was Tony nominated for that. It's a wonderful Caribbean calypso musical. Yeah. Great, great music.
Mm-hmm.
My Fair Lady, one of the most beautiful musicals ever written, that gave us Julie Andrews in the start of that lovely, lovely voice. And the one review that I read said, a truly remarkable revival of My Fair Lady, if not perfectly sung. Then what the fuck is the point of My Fair Lady if you can't find someone
to sing
who
it?
Can sing? Like, right. There's no one in all of Broadway. So they went with Lauren Ambrose, who is from 6 Feet Under, the redhead, and they tried to do Funny Girl with her, but like everybody else, no one can sing the second act or decide what the second act is going to be. Do you do the movie? Do you do the musical? If you do the musical, can anyone sing the musical? And the answer is almost no. The person on stage ends up panting, sweating, and nearly dead by the middle of the second act, because that second act is brutal.
Which does not make for a good musical.
And an odd twist, I'm the same way if I do that run down in Texas.
Yeah. All 500 meters. Yeah. So
just the first half.
It's 2 football fields. Yeah. I'm done.
So strangely, you have Once on the Island, which is terrific, beginning to end. My Fair Lady, which is some of the most beautiful music ever written for theater. It's a Lerner and Lowe musical classic. But I guess poorly sung.
Yep.
And then Carousel, which has beautiful songs, but horrible. It's a horrible musical. It is horrible. Mm. And it does not stand up to any test of time, except for just when you're about to, like, die in your seat from boredom, they sing You'll Never Walk Alone, and you end up crying because it's the dead guy singing to his daughter as she graduates from high school, You'll Never Walk Alone, with a goddamn choir.
How do you not cry?
I'm not made of stone, people, and it is the most manipulative.
I'm not Megyn Kelly.
I don't know about that.
Christ Lord.
Not the Olympics, the Winter Olympics.
So, best revival of a play. Angels in America is in here, and I really can't see a scenario where Angels in America is nominated for an award and doesn't win it.
Right.
It's both parts. If you're going to New York, you can see... Perestroika, or Angels in America comes in two parts, Perestroika and Millennium Approaches. What they're doing is, on the matinee days, they do, you see the whole, you see both plays at once. You see Perestroika as the matinee, and you see Millennium Approaches as the evening performance. The rest of the week, they split it up. So you would go, like, on a Monday and a Tuesday to see both parts. So, I mean, it's six 7 hours of theater. When I saw
it, feels worth it.
Back in the day, I saw it all in one day. Emotionally draining. Have some kind of psychological help. A you know pet therapy.
A helpline.
Have something there because it's a very 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 raw emotional show, and it's on HBO with Meryl Streep. And if you don't feel like going to the theater, and you just want to watch it on your TV. The version that's on HBO all the time with Meryl Streep and Emma Thompson and just a cast of, it's one of the most amazing casts. Al Pacino, it's genius. Mm-hmm. Like, it's as good as it gets. Like, you're in good hands, people. Sure. Lobby Hero, Three Tall Women, The Iceman Cometh, again, makes it to Broadway. I think this is like its 9 millionth, and Travesties. So then there's nothing surprising there. They have an original score now, which can be for a musical or for a play with music. And you get Angels in America, The Band's Visit, Frozen, Mean Girls, and SpongeBob SquarePants. And then we get to some interesting things. Andrew Garfield gets nominated for Angels in America, so Spider-Man now has an Oscar nomination and a Tony nomination under his belt, so good for him.
Good work.
Jamie Parker, who I'm assuming is playing Harry Potter, or The Cursed Child, I don't know. Mark Rylance.
He's probably playing... No, he's probably not playing Harry Potter because The Cursed Child is about the kids of the original character. So it's Harry's kids and Ron's kids, and they're all at Hogwarts, and they've screwed up their houses, and yeah.
I barely care about Harry Potter. I know. Can you imagine how I feel about their kids?
Thanks, Karen.
I read the book. I loved it.
Yeah, but Mark Rylance for Farinelli and the King, which is... I can't remember who the king is, but he is going insane, but he is somehow fascinated with a contralto, the castrated male singer. So interesting premise, curious as to what that's about. And Denzel Washington gets his turn at the Iceman.
Oh, I lied. He is playing Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. There you go.
There it is.
Glenda Jackson is still alive, and she is one of the stars
Breaking
of Three
news.
Tall Women.
Okay.
I saw her on a commercial for something. She had a commercial, and she is old. I mean, she is just mother time.
Is she tall, then?
Yeah, she is tall. Condola Rashad, which someone has to look up for me for St. Joan and find out if she is any relation to Felicia Rashad. Because I feel like in my memory that is one of the name of Felicia Rashad's children.
Children, yeah. I think
feel like,
daughter.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, Amy Schumer gets nominated for Meteor Shower, which is really poorly reviewed. Lauren Ridloff gets a nomination for Children of God, beautiful actress. Not sure if she is hearing impaired, like Marley Matlin and other stars of that show. Yeah. Best Leading Actor in a Musical, Harry Haddon Payton for My Fair Lady. Joshua Henry, who we were hoping would stay with Hamilton a little bit longer.
Right.
He went to Broadway to be in Carousel. He was nominated. And they have a little bit of colorblind casting. So Julie's father, Julie's boyfriend, I don't know. He's Billy.
Okay.
So I can't remember how he's related to Julie in the story. But they have an unexplained African-American actor playing that part of the carnival barker. I don't know what the fuck he does. It's terrible thing. But you have some really good singers in the roles. I guess... Ethan Slater must be SpongeBob or SquarePants.
He is SpongeBob.
And Tony Shalhoub for The Band's
SpongeBob
Visit, who's always...
SpongeBob and or SquarePants?
I don't know anything about... I've never, ever seen an episode of SpongeBob
He
or
lives
SquarePants.
In a pineapple under the sea.
Who's the pink guy?
It's
the blob guy?
Bobby. Peter.
No, it's...
Greg.
Shit.
I watched a whole segment on CBS on Sunday morning about the launch of this show. How they staged
Patrick,
it.
It's Patrick.
Patrick.
I knew that there
how they
is
built
a
it and
yeah,
how they
you.
Made it at live
I put that
people.
On my brain, not the Google.
They
by
made
the
it
way.
Live people and not people in costumes because they explained the whole thing. It was really interesting to watch. But I still had no interest in it.
Oh, yeah, the CBS Sunday morning segment was good.
I have no interest in seeing it, though, just because I don't care anything about Square.
But he lives in the pineapple under the sea.
Unless they put Kiss the Girl in there, I don't know what we're doing. So Lauren Ambrose is nominated for My Fair Lady for Best Leading Actress in a Musical. They say her acting is very good, but if you can't sing the part and you're not a soprano, why are you in the show?
Nobody knows.
Hayley Kilgore is nominated Once on This Island. And she's against LaChance, who originated the role in Once on This Island, in Summer, the Donna Summer musical. Katrina Lenk for The Band's Visit. Taylor Lautermann for Mean Girls, which just the picture of her looks funny.
Yeah.
So the highlight from this is I think Mean Girls has like 12 or 13 nominations.
Got 12.
Quite a few. And Jesse Mueller comes back from Beautiful and waitress.
And waitress.
That now she is nominated once again for Carousel, and she's playing the role of, let's say, Julie. I don't know what that character's name is.
Janet, Rachel, who
right,
cares?
Yeah. we don't care
about I'm glad I'm not the only one that doesn't give a shit about Carousel.
Right. Nathan Lane gets his nomination as is playing Roy Cohn, who is, in case you want to know how this fits into modern times, Ray Cohn was the closeted gay man that was horrible. He was McCarthy's personal lawyer during the 50s, during the witch hunts, the communist witch hunts, and he was the mentor to Roger Stone, the way overdressed white-haired gentleman that's always in trouble with Russia. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever wondering, like, well, he looks suspiciously gay, his mentor was Ray Cohn, famous closeted persecutor of homosexuals who died of AIDS in the 80s and was the right-hand man for McCarthy.
Oh.
So there's a direct line from Trump to Roy Cohn. So I would expect that would be your winner. Although Michael Cera from Arrested Development gets a nomination for being in Lobby Hero. David Morris, the tall gentleman that plays George Washington all the time because he's the only actor tall enough to play George Washington, he got a nomination for the Iceman Comet.
We've all got places to go. Right. Places to go.
So, featured actress in a play, we'll break this down. Laurie Metcalf gets a Tony nomination in the same year as her Oscar nomination.
Wow.
So she has a really strong chance of landing a Tony, Oscar, and Emmy nomination all in the same year.
Wow.
Like, the odds are really in her favor that an Emmy nomination for Roseanne is not out of the question.
But there's, because she does the heavy lifting on the show.
Yeah.
But there's no, there's no way she's going to get a Grammy for anything. I don't see that.
She's got time to put to no, a, she, right. Who knows? She may do
she
the.
She could do a spoken word.
A spoken
she
word. Could do a,
that's valid. That's,
she no, and that's how most people audio get book. Most actors get their Grammys is from doing spoken word and that kind of stuff. Best featured actor in a musical, Norbert Leo Butz for My Fair Lady. He is playing Alfred P. Doolittle, so he gets the two big showstoppers. So unless something really exciting is hidden in here that I'm not aware of, I can't imagine that it's not time to have Norbert Leo A, perform at the Tonys doing either Get Me to the Church on Time or I'm Getting Married in the Morning.
Excited.
Ding dong. That's the same song.
Sign.
I should hope so.
What's get me to the church? God says, get me to the church. No, that is the same song. He has two big numbers in that show. Anyway, somebody find that out. And then Alexander Jevignani, who just left, he was the king either when we saw Hamilton or when I saw it in L.A. He just left the touring company of Hamilton.
Oh, did he?
And now he's in Carousel with Joshua Henry.
Just in time.
So he's nominated. Gavin Lee for SpongeBob and somebody else I don't know. The other reason we're here, best featured actress in musical, so Ariana DeBose gets nominated for Summer, the Donna Summer musical. Renee Fleming gets nominated for Carousel, famous opera singer, and she gets the heavy lifting of singing. So now you know exactly how You'll Never Walk Alone is going to sound.
Hmm.
They went to a deep cut and got Renee Fleming to sing You'll Never Walk Alone. After 9/11 at the Emmys, when they finally aired, at the very end, Barbara Streisand saying, You'll Never Walk Alone to the firemen. Like, it's just a song you pull out when you want people to break down and cry.
Okay.
When don't you want people to just break down and cry?
And then, in a really weird twist of fate, and it's based on her name, but Diana Rigg, who is the the Maggie Smith of Game of Thrones, she is playing she's playing Henry Higgins' mother.
I can't Google this fast.
Yeah. She's playing Henry Higgins' mother in My Fair Lady. And it's not a big enough part to justify a Tony nomination, which means we're here because of it's Diana Rigg.
It's her, right.
So that becomes a really tricky category. But it's kind of fun that two of the three actresses playing Donna Summer got nominated.
Sure.
And that's their nominations. I mean, I thought maybe there might be a lighting or set design for Donna Summer, but.
Sure.
There wasn't. Just the two actresses.
Yeah. In the numbers, Mean Girls and SpongeBob SquarePants musical got 12 nominations each. Then we've got Angels in America, The Band's Visit, and Carousel at 11. Harry Potter, My Fair Lady come in at 10. And then everybody else.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a couple of war horses. And it's a shame because My Fair Lady is so good. But just hearing someone say, but the singing's iffy.
Right.
Mm. I mean, we've already had Audrey Hepburn have to be dubbed in the movie. Over, right, you know what I mean? Right. Like, if you're not going to hire Julie Andrews' exact voice double.
Yeah, because we know Julie can't do it anymore, unfortunately.
Poor thing.
We're very sad.
We'll look through, and I'm just going to read this as I go. This is the snubs and surprises, according to Entertainment Weekly. Mm-hmm. So let's see what they have to say. So the one thing that you should have noticed was missing is that neither of the leads from Frozen were nominated.
Right.
For
I did see that.
But it doesn't. Oh, there's where you turn the page. So neither one of those two, Chris Evans and Lobby Hero. It's a Kenneth Lonergan play. Kenneth Lonergan is the one that wrote Manchester by the Sea, You Can Count on Me. Mm-hmm. Really good writer. So this Lobby Hero, Chris Evans, he's one of the superhero people. I mm-hmm. think he's Captain America, Captain Marvel, Captain someone or other.
Marvel.
So one of the big surprises, Underpant. Amy Schumer, Tony nominee, Steve Martin Penn comedy that kind of bombed, but Amy Schumer got a Tony nomination, and Key of Key and Peele is in it too.
Okay.
But it really did kind of like close before anybody saw it. Joshua Jackson as the love interest in Children of a Lesser God did not get a nomination, and I like him. Just the fact that the show that dared critics to write it off has proven its mettle over time, but its abundance of award nominations is a nice surprise for the inventive adaptation of the Nickelodeon state series. At a whopping 12 nomination, tying it with Mean Girls, the most of any production this year, it was a very good Bikini Bottom day, especially for stars Ethan Slater as the title sponge and Gavin
Bikini
Lee as
the... Bikini Bottom, the name of the fictional bottom-of-the-sea town that SpongeBob SquarePants lives in.
Ah, okay.
And Gavin Lee is the not-so-titular Squidward.
Squidward is the lovable but gruff villain in the SpongeBob SquarePants.
And a surprise credit, I haven't read this, the double love on Tony nominations day for such an exceptionally last-minute entry into the season because summer just opened last Monday.
Just a minute ago.
In the good time, the cutoff was Tuesday. They opened Monday night. Despite underwhelming reviews for the biographical musical, The Queen of Disco, powerhouse performances from LaChance and Ariana DeBose did make nominations, and the weird part is how they got Disco Donna to be featured actress when she's the one that always plays Donna. LaChance plays older Donna, and then she plays Disco Donna's mother.
Okay.
And then the younger one plays young Donna, or she plays Disco Donna's daughter, Mimi. And she looks a lot like... She doesn't look like Mimi, but she looks like the other two daughters.
Right.
So it was the first time she came out as one of the daughters. I'm like, well, Christ Lord, that looks like Brooklyn or Amanda. So, but it was nice that it got a little bit of love for the two great singers. But I just don't... Like, sometimes I don't understand how they work out this featured actress, lead actress business.
If you don't understand it, the rest of us have no chance.
Okay. Mean Girls. The thing that I forgot to say was that now, what's her face from 30 Rock?
Tina Fey.
Nominated for a Book of a Musical. So, mm-hmm. Tony nominee, so she could possibly have more. No love for the Jimmy Buffett musical, so that's good news for the Donna Summer musical. Yeah.
I kind of thought that was an odd one. CBS.
Things I don't have time for.
Yeah. They did that cover on that tune, like. Yeah, and so
I'm not a parrot head. What do they call those people? Parrot heads.
I don't have any. I mean, I'm not opposed to any of his songs necessarily, but I don't want to go. I don't want to go sit in a theater and watch it. And I would have no desire to go to a concert of his either.
Yeah, let me tell you, if I never heard Margaritaville again in my life,
no, fair.
It's on my list.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, should never happen ever again in public performance.
To me, it's like I would equate that with like Summer Love.
Uh huh. Yeah, anything from Greece.
Yeah.
Margaritaville, Baby Got Back.
But Summer...
Picture.
Summer Lovin' might actually be in the play, because there's not much in the movie of Greece that's actually in the original play of Greece. The original musical of Greece has all different songs.
Well, I might like those more.
I hate them, too.
I also don't like that, one that, you like that way Numbers more. Song from Rent. I can't stand that either.
525,600 minutes. I like it when the men's chorus comes in and sings it all kinds of off-key.
That's always fun.
525.
Why is that guy shrieking it?
600 tones.
Okay, so that's the end of the Tonys. That's a lot about the Tonys. Then I'll just go through a couple of things that are exciting and renewed. And we have Westworld has been renewed for season 3, even though they've only shown 2 new episodes of the new season. So that is staying popular.
Oh, that's what I should catch up on next.
Yes.
Now that absolutely. I'm current on the Goldbergs.
Absolutely. 13 Reasons Why comes back May 18th. I'm very excited for that. We already did that story. Oh, here it is.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I was concerned. I don't know. It seemed very concerning. Very startling.
Well, I thought that I had already put this into the thing. So, I have to plug it in. You know what I mean? I got plugger.
Plug it. Plug it.
Plug it up. Plug it up.
Do it.
Now we're doing lines from Carrie. So, the musical played one day.
What a glorious
So day. There is good news and bad news about Arrested Development. The good news is that season 5 is coming, and apparently it's right around the corner. The bad news is, well, not really
season
that bad.
Season 5 is coming, and it's right around the corner.
Yeah. The bad news is, well, really not that bad. The second bit of news is about season 4. According to this author, not according to me, season 4 wasn't as well received, that part is true, as previous seasons would be, and that's a gross understatement. A lot of people complained about it. The story of the Bluth family was widely regarded as one of the best comedies on TV, which led Netflix to revive the show for an ill-fated season 4. Unfortunately, a variety of behind-the-scenes circumstances led to series being presented in an odd way. Rashomon, and if you're not familiar with Rashomon, that's a famous movie where you hear the story of, like, how we killed Marnie. But In the course of the movie, you were just right there.
First of all, he got my name right. That's why I looked surprised. Not because you want to kill me. Because
murder, so that's what, important business.
So well, what makes it interesting is that first we would see the story from your point of view, and then we would see it from Kat's point of view. And you see the same story in every year I give out the honorary Courage Under Fire Award, mm-hmm. because it's that movie remade
a prestigious
with
award.
Denzel Washington and Meg Ryan, and it's one of Matt Damon's first roles, mm-hmm. where you see the story of how Meg Ryan's character died, but you see it from everyone involved. So you see the same story like 8 times until you finally see what really happened, until someone says how it really happened, because everyone's trying to make up a story that makes someone out mm-hmm. to be a hero or someone else to be a good guy. So what they did with Arrested Development in the 4th season is because they were so busy and all working on other projects, What's-His-Face had Transparent, Jessica Walters does Arrow, Portia de Rossi had Archer. A new Archer. Mm-hmm. Archer. So everybody had these shows, so they're not ever all really in the episode together. It's all done with, like, blue screens and really funny ways of putting it together, so that sometimes they're just acting in front of a scene that just happened. So the opening scene where they all get off the boat where the series ended, it's all filmed from all 8 major characters' point of view, and that's your jumping off point to each episode. So you always see Tobias spin and say, "Wee, why does everyone think I'm gay?" But so you get to see him from there. So as it plays on, the only person in every episode is Liza Minnelli. She's the glue that holds it together.
As she should be.
And because Portia de Rossi had cut her hair, but she has to have the long blonde hair. Sometimes it's just a woman with a blonde wig being the body double. And it doesn't, because until you catch it, like it's about episode 4 that you start to get in on the joke and you start to wait for why to, because they don't tell you why Tobias is spinning off in the corner or why sometimes he's in a turban, and it's hysterical. But it does take you a minute to be like, well, this is a new way to do this sitcom.
Right.
It's very funny. So what they're going to do is they're going to go through and put it in order. So now you're just going to see them get off the boat. Somehow you're going to, and I don't know how they're going to do that one scene 8 different times, but you're going to see it in chronological order. But what you're going to miss is all of the opening jokes of that whole thing, or like as each person isn't at Lucille Bluth's trial.
Right.
Because every episode has to get to why they weren't at the trial. So, like, when those jokes start to land, and, like, Arrested Development's not, it's not easy TV. It never will be. That show makes you work for those laughs. You have to remember the joke from 2 years ago. You have to be ready for Ayang, you know, like, you just have to be ready for all of it. So this made it even harder. So they're going to dumb it down, which disappoints me.
Sure.
But, so that's what's going to happen. But I don't know in here if they've ever said a date of when it's coming back. But honestly, seriously, the funniest show
Prepare
besides
yourself.
Deep ever on television.
It's usually summer. I feel like that one releases in the summer.
Time to go to bed?
No, go to the West Wing.
Okay.
Open the little white cabinet and there's a bottle up there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So then the last... Oh, no, we did them all. So, and I can't find an... I guess Big Little Lies is filmed. Allegedly with Meryl Streep. It's all done.
All right.
But they haven't set a release date for that yet.
It's okay.
So, and we'll keep you up to date because God knows I will be watching Arrested Development. Because once I bought in, which was about episode 3, which is...
Pretty quick.
They're 23 minutes.
Pretty quick, yeah.
It was less than an hour before. I was all on board. And him in the sari, the sarong, whatever it is with the turban and all that, and when he tries to put it back on, and him in the airplane bathroom trying to redo his garb to go to do the eat, pray, love, but all they did was go to the eat part. It's just funny. So, good times. Entertainment.
Tiny thing to add to entertainment, only because I just remembered it as you were talking. Obviously, George Michael died Christmas Day about a year and a half ago. His family released a statement just this week regarding all of the... They keep doing... All the fans keep bringing flowers and plaques and mementos to the two houses that he owned in... Wherever it is, in London, wherever the hell they are. And they have now... told everybody that they can come collect their stuff. If they want to leave stuff, it will be kept by the family, but they are to stop doing all of the memorials and coming to the houses and doing all that because George had the two houses because it was a quiet neighborhood. He liked it. He didn't want to offend any neighbors. Like people knew that he was there, but it was no big deal. Like he was all very quiet and all this.
Right, right.
So the family has decided that it is time to stop all of that. No driving by, no wailing at the wall, none of that stuff. It all needs to stop. And they now should donate all of whatever they're going to do if they want to in George's name, donate to any out of the charities that he, it has been discovered that he was a philanthropist too. So I just thought that was interesting that I didn't even realize it was still going on, that they're still throwing piles of flowers and piles of cards and pictures and stuff. All of these houses for him.
British people are crazy.
So anyway, I just thought that was interesting that they've decided. So if you're hearing this and you've been doing that, they've kindly asked you to stop. They've asked you to limit it. Calm down. So anyway, but the I posted on Facebook a blue plaque went up the Bushy Meads school that he went to where he met Andrew.
Yeah.
The first of, I guess there are several blue plaques that are going up in London with regards to him. Houses and the like. So anyway, that's kind of cool.
And Aaron, what? Because now I'm behind because I don't read while I'm reading. But what's the no costumes or anything? Just bright clothes.
Oh, that was about SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh right, that's right. No bright clothes.
They're not in the outfit.
Oh, because they're playing cartoon characters.
Right.
Right.
And so they've.
But they chose not to put them in cartoony costumes.
In, like, big foam costumes.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
And or, like, Lion King, right?
Right.
Where they have the characters, but people
clean pajamas,
behind them.
Penguins on the bottom. Yeah. Clean pajamas, penguins on the bottom.
But, yeah.
Every time.
That technique that they do, I don't think it's called green screen or blue screen. It's got some name for it, but, like, if you watch... movies now that are period pieces that are kind of low budget, like Carol did it a couple years ago. That's the first place I really like caught what they were doing. That they don't have old cars anymore or anything like that. Like they're using some kind of painted background. Like it's computer imaged. It's not.
Are you talking about CGI?
CGI
computer generated
images, but it's weird because it's not. I don't know what it's called, but they use now in and it may be as simple as CGI, but they use it now like in Carol. That they're just walking across a street. They didn't build a set to make it 1950 for Carol. Like, none of those cars are really there. But they're not doing it in front of a green... It's not the old-fashioned, like, walking down, like, pretending
putting
to walk.
On a treadmill and walking in front of a screen.
Yeah, that whole thing where they're walking in place, like in All About Eve, where they have that whole conversation where allegedly they're... And then they make a weird turn, and then all of a sudden you're on the set of a door. It's not that, but if you watch Carol, you can really catch it that...
Okay.
Oh, none of that shit's really there. Like, it's not... The set from, like, if you watch her movie The Hours, where it's set in the 50s, and those are all real set pieces, and you can tell that they built the house, that they got the antique car from somebody. But in Carol, there's just a point where you catch it of, like, oh, none of this is real.
Okay.
So, but it's got some, CGI might be it, but I thought it had some funny name. Okay, I don't know. So, but they had some weird name for it of how they did it, because I saw behind the scenes of another movie where it was like, oh yeah, there's no, we didn't spend money on any of this stuff. Like, we're making a movie that would be a period piece and a fortune to make years ago, and we made it for $25.
Right. In a warehouse with walls painted different colors or something to that effect.
That's good.
Okay, there's that. Moving on.
There it is.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of Frazzled, two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole ass one thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kat Carlson!
First of all, I refuse to believe that Meredith Grey did not just save that woman last week. That all happened. It was all fucking real. Don't you dare tell me otherwise.
Yeah, and I was, because in Dexter, like, he's not even near water.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the boat is in a pond and then they have a green screen behind it. Like, the whole fucking thing
there's
is fake.
No water there.
Yeah, and, like, he's never driving in Miami.
Dexter, so, I 100% believe. Grey's Anatomy, I do not believe.
Yeah, and ER, because they had all those scenes of, like...
I'm going to want to see this so I can see how it is, because usually I can detect that. I usually can see, I'm like, that's not
I didn't
real.
Catch it in Dexter at all until I saw a blooper or something, and I'm like, wait the fuck a minute. Like, they're not even outside.
Right.
But it's so seamless that you're like... That's not real. And then ER especially did it with all that playing basketball out in the snow or like rescuing kids from rivers.
Oh, right. They're, yeah.
It was all fake. Like every bit of that. Like the kid didn't exist. I mean, it was just fucked up.
Why aren't they in the river? Get in the river. The kid is drowning in there. Jump in the river.
Yeah, because ER was the first one I saw it, and I did not catch
that
it in Dexter.
That was the second time that Meredith died was in the fucking river. God damn it. All right.
Kat, what you got?
So, I'm going to use my time today to bring back a greatest hit.
Yeah.
Ah. No. It's called Local Elections Fucking Matter.
Oh, yes.
Aren't we in the middle of that?
In
right
light
now?
Of teacher strikes, like, you know, coming across the nation, and deservedly so, and you know what I mean? Like, I really do hope that they make some progress and get what they need, and, you know, because I know they want to get back to work, but they don't want to fucking keep doing it this way. The problem, the part of the reason that we're here is your state legislature.
Oh, totally.
That idiot that represents your district that you've never heard of except for they're on the ballot year after year after year after year after year, that person's got to go pay attention. There's an election coming up this year. A lot of people are up for election in all kinds of states. Mm-hmm. We're very excited about people that want to be senators. We get very excited about people that want to go to Congress. Stop being excited about those people and get excited about the people that want to go to your state senate, your state assembly, your state legislature, whatever the fuck your state calls it, because every state calls it 100 different things.
Like, it doesn't
right.
matter.
Your school board, yeah. your dog catcher, yeah. all of those people. Because those are the people. What's probably going to end up happening here in Arizona is our shit-ass legislature is going to pass a shit-ass budget, and then they're going to go the fuck home for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Oh, totally.
The end. Yeah. And then the teachers are going to have to decide, and they will probably decide to go back to work. And they're, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I honestly think they should stay the fuck out for a good long time. But that's also not my livelihood. That's right. also not my right. not my calling. And the kids don't fall under my responsibility. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to judge the teachers for any of the decisions that they make in this. I know that they're doing the very best that they can, and they're fighting for their cause, and I'm 100% with them. But what's going to happen here in Arizona is we're going to pass a shit-ass budget that does some sort of placating or some sort of patronizing, and then everybody's going to go back to work. And the thing that's actually going to make the difference is when we get the Nancy Bartos and the, what was it? Oh, there's another horrible. Debbie Lesko just moved up.
Right, right. Yeah, but she could be out of there in November, too.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, all of these horrible people that you maybe, like, see on the back page of your newspaper if you're still reading it, those are the people that are making the difference. Those are the people that need to go so that we can actually get things to happen, so that we can actually fix the healthcare in your state, to fix the schools in your state, get the people out that are just making money off of government, get the people in that actually want to be there, that actually believe the things that you believe, find out who they are. They're easy to meet. They're super easy to meet at a local level. You can find them. They hold coffee things, and they're at your neighbor's house, and, like, go find these people.
If it's one thing, if it's Kirsten Cinema, she's either on the north side of the street or the south side of the street. You'll be able to find her. Just look one way or the other. 50-50 shot, you're going to find her.
I don't have time for my rant on Kirsten Cinema today. Sorry. She was on Pod Save America this last week, and I just couldn't. Yeah. I've never been more of a white woman than the fact that I just can't even.
Sure. Definitely follow that link in the chat room for how they built. There's one famous scene from Grey's Anatomy.
I refuse.
Oh, no, it's really cool. And, I mean, you click on it, too.
Is it the Aaron from L.A. link right there in the bottom?
Because it's not just... Because usually when you think of a green screen, you think of, like, the things going on behind them, and they're doing that goofy little walk.
Right.
But this is all the things that they bring into the shot, and then they can, like, swing the camera around, or, like, this one goes from above, too.
Yeah.
So the fact that they can move the camera, like in Carol, there's the scene where she's driving, and it's like, was she really driving the car? Because whatever happened to Baby Jane, they couldn't afford the rig. So that really is Betty Davis driving around Hollywood in that car.
No, I remember that story.
Yeah. So there's times where, like, the rig is more expensive, and there's time where these, like, made-up shots are more expensive. So, like, there's TV shows that are like, we can't afford all that shit. We had to we actually are in the woods.
We're just...
Like, that person is actually drowning. We can't the CGI is too, you know what I mean? Right. The fake stuff's too expensive, so she's got to learn how to swim.
Fake stuff gets cheaper all the time. I refuse. No, Grey's Anatomy is just Israel.
Yeah.
I'll look after the show. I just sent myself the link so I can look. Thanks to Aaron for posting that.
Yeah, but then you'll watch something like Lost, where, like, you realize about two seasons in, like, oh, they just keep running through that same set of trees. Like, and, like,
there's, like, all one of path the, in the woods.
All of The Walking Dead happens on the same street. That no matter what the season, there's old leaves on there. Like, do they not blow away? Do seasons not pass? Why are the trees green, but you have fallen autumn leaves?
There's, like, no kids to rake them.
Yeah, it's one or the other.
There are no children left to rake them.
Look at you, figuring that out.
Very smart, very smart. Anyway, the end. I didn't have two things, so I thought there should be a rant, and to remind you,
I will tell you, completely disconnected from all the rest of this. Remember last week I made a comment in regards to a friend, and I said, no matter where you are, watch where you are, watch where you're... just be aware of your surroundings because people get injured. Stupid shit happens. Positive thing about this, it actually is a friend of mine. Actually, it's my hairdresser. Frankie Arzaga is a local kid here in town. I know you guys have seen it because I've been sharing the shit out of this, his GoFundMe page. Hairdresser. Doesn't have benefits, self-employed, trying to support a whole salon with him and a couple friends. He's an interesting character. He's a very shy kid. He doesn't take compliments well. He doesn't take attention well, though he's tattooed like crazy and wears dreadlocks. But aside from that, very, very nice kid. He got jumped a week or so ago outside of a bar here in town and by a guy who he was defending a friend. He got in the middle of a guy attacking somebody else. Frankie got pushed to the ground, and then the guy literally stomped on him and broke Frankie's leg. So there was a need. He's going to be out for like 6 months. There's a need. Obviously, he can't stand. He can't do hairdressing. He can't do anything. He's really out of work and screwed, like, for rent and food and everything else for all this time. They initially had set a GoFundMe page up for, and I'll put the link actually in the chat room. They put a link up for the GoFundMe to be $12,000. The first bill that came in was $14,000 for ambulance and two or three days in the hospital at St. Luke's.
I thought it was $4,500 that he needed to raise.
So then we find out that his surgery is $9,000, not $45,000. Mm-hmm. So immediately it goes up to $26,000. We're just under $30,000. The GoFundMe has, it's just gone so well.
Fantastic.
Wow. The outpouring from people has been crazy. So I've gone through and I've read through many of the comments, and I text Frankie and I'm like, you need to read. And he's like, I can't. He goes, I cry every time. But it's so interesting to read through a lot of these, and they are like, literally, I don't know who you are, but nobody deserves that. You know, be strong. Some of the positives, like for all of the bullshit you see in the world,
yeah,
of all of the people who are out there that are just shitty, that do all kinds of stuff, like these idiots that were down there protesting against teachers who need a raise and the likes, there are so many people still in the world that will just $25, $30, $100, $1,000. There were people that just $1,000. They just gave it to him.
I love it.
It's just so nice to see this outpouring. We're doing a fundraiser Friday. Barbara Seville has collected actually some things to that have been donated by other hairdressers and other services similar to what Frankie does, mm-hmm. so we can auction them off. Other hairdressers within his salon are taking his clients temporarily.
We'll have a chat about that too.
But it's been very interesting to see the outpouring for people for this kid. Again, a lot of people don't know him. He is well known in the community locally, but just to see that literally in the first 24 hours, it was astounding what had happened. But we're just under $30,000 for his GoFundMe. So it's a kid.
And you know it's going to go up. I mean,
I already have told them. No, I'm like, that needs to be 40.
Right.
I think we need to be at 40 grand.
Yeah, because I mean, his expenses.
Right. No, that's what I mean. I like that. You think the first bill for $14,000 was the first one.
Well, you have your bills that you have to pay for whatever happened and whatever will take for your care, but then you have your rent and you have your food.
Right. That's what we're talking about. All that plus the salon stuff, plus physical therapy, incidentals. There's going to be more.
Yeah.
More of this.
Yeah.
But, anywho, awesome. it's all going to, I think it's a fantastic thing.
My thoughts and prayers are
for
them.
Jesus Christ.
What? Wrong?
But in the good way, not in the do nothing way.
Exactly. Hashtag thoughts and prayers.
Right. So yeah, that was just a side note for that. I think that it about does it. Does it? Does it do us? Are we done?
Yep, I think we're done.
We think we're done? I think we're done.
The end. End of episode.
DC al fine. Oh, all my God.
It's not going to work for 6 months.
Right.
No. I was looking at something. I'm like, IRL does not mean all.
Oh, I like IRL.
I got you.
And then I picked up on it.
Hokey smokes Bullwinkle. Yeah. Well, we're off and running in May. We've got, we're not halfway through the year yet, but we've got a lot to do. Yeah. There's a whole summer coming upon us.
There is. I think it'll be warm. That's my prediction.
We're a third of the way. That's really good. We're a third of the way through the month.
Are we?
Yes.
Through the year.
Yep. Third of the way through the year.
We're one day into the month.
One day of the month, third of the way through the year. 4 months is 4 months have passed.
On the 10th, we'll be a third of the way into the month.
Nice.
Well, as we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday!